Hey, podcast listeners, Jasmine Belcher-Morris here. If you're a music nerd or a fledgling music nerd who wishes they knew more about what's out there, check out the All Songs Considered podcast from NPR Music. Each week, they share the best of the best new and upcoming music in lots of songs you'll fall in love with. Find new episodes every Tuesday at npr.org/podcasts and on the NPR One app.
Hi, and welcome to the StoryCorps podcast. I'm Michael Garofalo. This weekend marks the 25th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act. This landmark legislation makes it illegal to discriminate against someone because of a physical or mental disability. But it does something else. It asks people like me, people who are not disabled, to make adjustments in our world and the way we do things, to make workspaces and public places more accessible, to design websites, for example, that can be used by people who are visually impaired. And so in this episode of the podcast, we're going to listen to some voices that may be a little challenging to hear if you aren't used to them. But in honor of the ADA, we're going to ask you to listen a little bit differently today so that you can hear from some people who you might not have taken the time to listen to before. We'll hear from a magician who performs seated in his wheelchair, a baseball fan who is deaf, and a surprise he got on the field one day. And finally, a podcast exclusive, something that's never been broadcast before, a conversation between a mom and her adult son who has Down syndrome. First up, we'll hear from Ricky Boone. Ricky Boone is the owner and operator of a magic store called Magic Central in Asheville, North Carolina. He was born with a rare bone disorder that stunted his growth. He's just over 4 feet tall and uses a wheelchair to get around. Doctors told Ricky's mom that he wouldn't live past childhood. But as he told his friend, Patty Barber, Ricky has spent his life surprising people.
What happened is in my mother's womb, my skeletal system went haywire. And so I have bones in places where I shouldn't have bones. And then there are places that I should have bones that I don't.
How was it for you when you were a child?
I grew up in a very small rural town, and people were ashamed that their next door neighbor was a disabled child, so it was very difficult. One day when I was 13, we were told that there would be a new teacher where I went to school, and me and a couple of other guys were standing outside the school waiting to see what this new teacher looked like. This guy pulls up on a Harley wearing a black leather jacket. Well, I thought he was cool right then and there. He got off the motorcycle and proceeded to show us card tricks and coin tricks, and I was hooked. His name was Grove Norwood, and I owe everything to him. He became principal of the school, and he would come over the intercom almost daily. Ricky Boone, please report to the principal's office. And he would come outside of his office, and the other kids thought I was always in trouble. Even the secretary thought I was in trouble. He would say, "Get in here," and close the door, and he'd say, "Ricky, let me show you this." And then he'd show me a new card trick or a coin trick. He said, "Go find a book, learn a new trick. When you can fool me, we'll trade." And I started reading every book that I could get my hands on. Well, later on, when I graduated from college, he tracked me down, and he was having a Christmas party. And he said, "Come and perform." So I went and did their Christmas party. His mother came up to me after, and she said, "You know, he does little magic, but nothing like what you've just done." And that made me feel really, really good. I've been a professional magician now for 36 years. And people, they do judge a book by its cover. People see me as someone to pity. And so it takes a lot to get past that initial shock. But well, if I can make that person laugh their butt off, then they have no time to feel sorry for me. And they forget that I'm in a chair.
What do you consider your greatest accomplishment?
That I'm still here. I accidentally set my head on fire in front of thousands of people, and I lived through that. I was supposed to have died 10 years ago. And when I didn't die, the doctor said, "Well, there's no way you can continue to perform." And I've done more shows in the last 10 years than I did in the previous 10. If you have a willingness to live and you feel like that you have a purpose for living, I feel like you can.
That's Ricky Boone with his friend Patty Barber in Asheville, North Carolina. Next up, a man with a lifelong passion for baseball, even though he hasn't heard the crack of a bat since he was a little boy.
My name is Robert Panner. I just became 89 years old, but I became deaf from spinal meningitis at the age of 10.
Bob Panera came to StoryCorps in Rochester, New York, and he told his friend, Greg Levitas, about meeting a couple of baseball's all-time greats.
My father knew how much I loved baseball, and Babe Ruth was my hero. And this is 1931. So he wrote to the Yankees, and he asked if I could possibly meet the Bambino. And I arranged it. So we went to the ball game that day. We sat about 10 rows from the field. And before the game, my father gives a letter from the Yankees to the usher. Usher goes down to the dugout, comes back with the Babe. Big fellow, huge. He says, "Hi, kid, how you doing?" Shaking hands with the Bambino was a dream come true. And later on, I realized my father, he was trying to get my hearing back.
So your father thought that the shock of meeting
him... Yes, the Bambino, wow. But I still remained on deaf as a post. And I remember later on taking my son to Memorial Stadium. After the game, my son says, "Hey, Dad, I have a ball. I would like one of the players to sign it." Brooks Robinson, the third baseman, came out and said, "Brooks, excuse me, but my son wonders if you can give him an autograph." Brooks, he looks out at me, and then he signs with his hands, "Are you deaf?" I said, "Hey, you know sign language. Where did you learn?" He said, "Well, I grew up in Little Rock, Arkansas, only blocks from the school for the deaf. So I used to play with the deaf kids." He became my idol after that. Anyway, to this day, I live, breathe, and die baseball. I look at it as my religion. The stadium, it's my second home.
That's Bob Panera with his friend Greg Levitas in Rochester, New York. Bob was the first deaf person to get a master's degree in English from NYU. He became a literature teacher, and in 1967, he helped found the National Technical Institute for the Deaf in Rochester. He died in July 2014. We're going to wrap up this episode with a conversation between a mother and her adult son who has Down syndrome.
My name is Joshua Myers, the lovely son to my lovely mom. Mom, how do I look?
Josh's mother, Susan Caphammer, brought him to a StoryCorps mobile booth in Yakima, Washington, where they had this conversation.
What is your disability?
I have Down syndrome, and I consider it a gift, but at first I thought it was a curse.
A curse?
Yeah.
You told me once that it's just too much, but I didn't know how overwhelmed you were until they called and told me that you had gone and stood out in a busy intersection in the road.
I just want to kill myself, but a lady stopped from me.
So she had you come in the car and talk?
Yeah.
And have we seen her since?
No.
First of all, I'm just so grateful to that person I don't know who took that time with you. When you're a parent, the most important thing is that you be happy. And when you're not happy, it's just so frightening that I can't make that okay for you. How is your life now?
Awesome.
What's good about it?
Everything. I love my life.
Did you have dreams for your future when you were young?
The dreams that I have were really vivid.
Varied? Uh-huh.
Vivid.
Oh, vivid. What kinds of things did you think of doing?
Some sexual things, but I don't really want to get into that.
I'm not thinking just dreams at night, but things that you wanted to become.
There's a lot of things I wanted to be back then, but there's only two things now.
What's that?
One of them is to be a minister.
Mm-hmm.
The other is wrestling in WWE to make my family proud from that.
Do you think your family is proud of you?
I know they are. I love my mom so much, I'll even die for her.
But I don't want you to die for
me. No.
I want you to live for me.
Me and my mom has this everlasting love.
And that's what you particularly taught me, is how to love. And everyone is who they are and who they're meant to be. Do you remember what we usually say to each other? You're my Josh. And then you say,
you're my mom.
You're my Josh.
You're my mom.
That's Joshua Myers with his mother, Susan Kapphammer, in Yakima, Washington. And joining me now for a little perspective on that last story is Nikki Pombier-Berger, who is a StoryCorps facilitator, who, as you know from listening to this podcast, is somebody that is present for a StoryCorps interview and records it and helps guide people through it. And also outside of StoryCorps, Nikki, you are an oral historian.
Yeah, that's right.
And what do you do with oral history?
I work on projects that are interested in sort of moving a needle regarding intellectual disability, whether that's broader societal attitudes about people with intellectual disabilities or direct services provided to people with intellectual disabilities.
And how did you get started doing this?
I was studying oral history at Columbia. I was getting my master's, and I was midway through the program, and I had my son Jonah, who has Down syndrome. So I decided to spend the rest of my time at Columbia using oral history to educate myself basically about Down syndrome, which was totally new to me. And I did oral history interviews with self-advocates who have Down syndrome as my thesis work there.
Had you ever known someone with Down syndrome in your life?
No. My only frame of reference for Down syndrome was Corky, the character on Life Goes On.
Right.
That show in the early 90s, yeah. And he was my first interview, actually, the actor who played Corky, Chris Burke. But no, I'd never met anyone with Down syndrome, and I'd never had what I describe as like a meaningful encounter with anyone with an intellectual disability before I gave birth to one, which is a pretty meaningful encounter.
The story we just listened to, the StoryCorps interview between Josh and his mom,
mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, when you listen to this interview, what are you hearing?
You know, the meaning of his identity as it relates to Down syndrome has changed over time for him, and it's changed through struggle. There's not been passivity on his part in sort of receiving what people tell him he is. It sounds like he's really gone through it and come out at a place where he really sounds to me like he has a sense of ownership over his life and a sense of what he wants. And that, too, struck me, desire in this piece. You know that he had dreams when he was a kid, and they may not have been the dreams that his mom wanted to hear about. But, you know, they're human dreams. He's a complex and emotionally rich human being in this piece, and that was what was especially striking, especially in terms of the work that I'm doing. But as a mom, what's really striking is, of course, at the end when they're telling each other how much they mean to one another. And you know, I think when Jonah was born, one of the things that I was most afraid of was that he wouldn't be able to speak, that I might never be able to understand him. And, you know, I know that it's an open question what his speech will sound like, but I know that we'll have ways of knowing each other, whatever those sound like, that will be profound and they'll be meaningful and they'll be true and it will be love. And, you know, like now when I change his diaper, he's three, and when I have him up on the changing table, he loves music, and he loves me to sing to him. And so his most recent song that he's obsessed with is Across the Universe, and he loves to sing along with me. And that's new, and that feels like not a breakthrough, but it's like, this is communication, this is love. And so I'll sing the la-la-la-la-la part, and he sings right along with me in this terribly off-key, like, but he keeps a beat. He can keep a beat. You know, that's love. And the hope is that my hope and my fear when he was born was that he wouldn't be understood by the world around him, that people wouldn't take the time to try harder to listen if asked to. So I think that was what was particularly striking about this piece, is that it asks people to listen and to realize it's not that hard.
That's StoryCorps facilitator Nikki Pombier-Berger. We'd really like to thank Nikki for sharing her story. That's it for this episode of the StoryCorps podcast. Check out our latest animation on StoryCorps.org. Until next time, I'm Michael Garofalo. Thanks for listening.
Hey, Jasmine Belcher Morris again. Just reminding you to check out the All Songs Considered podcast from NPR if you're looking for new music. You can check it out every Tuesday at npr.org/podcasts and on the NPR One app.